The Lord be with you. Amen. It is good to be in God's house to receive his good gifts today. Pastor Bob and Janine are traveling this week for some well-deserved time off and respite, and so we will be praying for them as they travel this week. And we are blessed to have with us a guest preacher today. Pastor James Cleland will be preaching God's word for us this morning. He comes to us from Texas, but recently relocated to the St. Louis area. And we have I have the privilege of getting to serve with him together at KFUO Radio here in St. Louis while he's continuing his education here at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. So it's a privilege for me to get to share with you one of my coworkers in Christ here this morning as he gets to proclaim God's word. And we're so grateful that he accepted the invitation to come preach God's word with us. The Lord in his infinite wisdom, I think we shared with you last week, the Lord in his infinite wisdom called Pastor Brassey home to his side. And so Pastor Cleland graciously stepped up to preach God's word for us this week where Pastor Brassey had been scheduled to preach. So we're thankful for the opportunity to hear God's word from him this week. We will continue our worship this morning with opening prayer. Let's stand for prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and for time to receive your gifts. Come be with us this morning that we may have open hearts, open minds, ready to receive your word and sacrament. Bless us as we rejoice in song, as we confess our sins and hear the good news of forgiveness in Jesus. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue now with our confession of sin. Pastor Cleon will lead us in our confession of sin and absolution this morning.
Good morning. Please join me in a prayer of confession. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all sins. I have lived as you did not matter. As if I matter the most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love have its way with me. And so you have for your others has failed. There are those who I am hurt, and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and my desires have soiled with sin. I am sorry for all of this and ask for grace. I want to do better. Hear the good news of the forgiveness of sins. In the stead and by the command of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive all of your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh,
What's one great way to learn God's word and carry it with us in our hearts? The great gift of song and hymns. And so that's something we get to do starting this year. We're starting a new tradition, we might call it. A hymn of the month is what we'll be learning each month, so that we can learn God's word and carry it with us in our hearts. But not just here on Sunday mornings, but in our homes, in our school, everywhere, that we carry God's word with us. So today we introduce the hymn of the month for this month. And we have an introduction, a little bit of history for this hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
A native of the small Kentucky town of Franklin, Thomas Obadiah Chisholm was born in a log cabin. He lacked formal education. Nevertheless, he became a teacher at age 16 and the associate editor of his hometown weekly newspaper, the Franklin Advocate, at age 21. In 1893, Chisholm became a Christian through the ministry of Henry Clay Morrison, the founder of Asbury College and Seminary in Wilmore, Kentucky. Morrison persuaded Chisholm to move to Louisville, where he became editor of the Pentecostal Herald. Though he was ordained a Methodist minister in 1903, he served only a single brief appointment at Scottsville, Kentucky, due to ill health. Chisholm relocated his family to Winona Lake, Indiana, to recover, and then to Vineland, New Jersey, in 1916, where he sold insurance. He retired in 1953 and spent his remaining years in a Methodist retirement community in Ocean Grove, New Jersey. By the time of his retirement, he had written more than 1,200 poems, 800 of which were published. They often appeared in religious periodicals, such as the Sunday School Times, Moody Monthly, and Alliance Weekly. Many of these were set to music. Hymnologist Kenneth Osbeck provides the background for Great is Thy Faithfulness. Chisholm had sent a number of his poems to the Reverend William H. Runyon, a musician with the Moody Bible Institute and one of the editors of Hope Publishing Company in Chicago. Runyon wrote of the hymn, "This particular poem held such an appeal that I prayed most earnestly that my tune might carry over its message in a worthy way, and the subsequent history of its use indicates that God answered prayer. It was written in Baldwin, Kansas in 1923 and was first published in my private song pamphlets." George Beverly Shea, the famous Canadian-born singer of the Billy Graham Crusades, introduced this hymn to those attending the evangelistic meetings in Great Britain in 1954. It immediately became a favorite.
Change us.
Our first reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." This is the word of the Lord. Next, we have our children's message. Mrs. Armbruster will be sharing our children's message. So any children that would like to come down and join us for the children's message, you can do so at this time.
Good morning. I got to do this 2 weeks in a row, which is awesome. Best job ever. You brought a horse. I love it. Good morning, my friends. So, see that guy over there? That's Pastor James. I met Pastor James this morning, and you know what he told me?
What?
He didn't have breakfast. So I have two bags with me today, and in one of my bags, I have a Famous Amos chocolate chip cookie. So I have a cookie, and he didn't have breakfast.
I'll get it.
Thank you. So I thought, because cookies are good breakfast food, right?
No.
No, not really. But I thought it would be nice if I would take my cookie and I would give it to him. Now, I don't have a cookie, but he does, right? So I used to have a cookie and he didn't. Now he has a cookie and I don't. And what if he eats it?
He already did.
He already did?
Yeah, I thought.
Now I don't have a cookie and he doesn't have a cookie. And my bag doesn't have any more cookies. Do you see any more cookies in there,
no,
my bag?
No.
So the cookies are all gone. Oh, actually, bummer.
But
well, I have another bag.
But she has something that lasts forever.
And in this bag, I have some love. So what I would like to do is I would like to give my love. I see Mrs. Caston. So, love for Mrs. Caston. And so I used to have love and I gave it away. Is my love all gone?
No.
I see.
No,
it's rubber banded in there.
So it looks like I gave my love away, but I have some more. So I think I'm going to give some more love away. And would you like some love, sir? There's some. So now I gave my love away, so it's all gone, right? And I have no more love.
Yes.
Yes, you do.
Yes, yes, you do.
I have more love?
Yeah, let me see.
I have more love?
Yeah. It's rubber band in there.
I'm going to sit down right here, and we're going to talk about my bag of love. Here's the truth. I sin. Sometimes I do things that hurt God. Sometimes I do things that hurt other people. Sometimes I do things that just aren't very smart. And I know I shouldn't. And I can't fix that problem all by myself. But God can.
And he takes the owl from me.
And he let his son Jesus die on the cross. And Jesus died and paid for all my sins. And he rose again to show that he was more powerful than death. And now he's in heaven. And guess where I get to go? I'm going to get to go to heaven too and be with him forever. But while I'm here on earth, because of how much love God has and how much he showed me, he gives me love. And guess what I can do with that love? I can share it with other people. Do I ever run out? No, I don't run out because he doesn't run out. God never runs out of love. He has more and more and more and more. And I can have more and more and more to share. And chocolate chip cookies, I'm going to run out. Because they go away. I know.
Because he just ate it.
He did. But love, we will. You do.
With M&Ms.
With M&Ms. Will they run out sometime?
Mm-hmm.
Will your love ever run out?
I have chocolate Reese's Pieces cookies.
All good breakfast food. Yeah. So let's pray. And then when you leave, I'm going to give you two hearts. One, so you can remember how much God loves you. And another one, so you can remember that you can give it away and you'll never run out. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for loving me, and thank you for giving me love in my heart that I can share with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we have love that will never run out because it's from God. Two for you.
Can I please have three?
There you go.
Two for you.
Oh. Well, then you have a lot to give away. Here you go. There you go.
And now we invite little worshipers ages 4 through 4th grade if they would like to attend little worship. I see Mrs. Landgraf and her helper back there ready with the cross. If it's okay with your parents and you'd like to go to little worship, if your parents would like for you to do that, you can follow the cross there and go to little worship with the Landgrafs this morning and hear God's word in a lesson just for you. And we'll invite Pastor Cleland to come up and share God's word with us today.
Well, I don't know if I even have to give a message after that, because that's everything. Aw, thank you.
Cookies and love.
I like this church. Well-fed and loved. That could be a mission statement, right? Well, I'm Pastor James Cleland. Thank you for allowing me to preach today, to proclaim the gospel. And I get to do the same thing next week if I don't mess things up too bad today. Pastor Bob said if I do great, he looks good. If I do bad, he looks good in comparison. So it works out for him. I named this sermon and next sermon kind of a series called Y'all Need Jesus. Have you ever heard that? In the South, that's becoming kind of a saying. Y'all need Jesus. It's on t-shirts now. It's on bumper stickers. I actually got my wife a t-shirt that says, Y'all Need Whataburger. Kind of a play on that. If you know what Whataburger is, then you've maybe been to Texas. Yeah, if you haven't, you need Whataburger. In the South, we have another saying that we use called, Bless your heart. Have you heard that one? It sounds like a blessing, but it's not really a blessing. It's kind of an insult. Oh, bless their heart, yada, yada, yada. Well, y'all need Jesus is turning into one of those too in the South. We have this ability as Christians to take the gospel, the good news, y'all need Jesus, and turn it into a condemning law. Have you ever done that? Oh, that person needs Jesus. Oh, that person. What I want you to remember with this series is, yes, y'all need Jesus. Y'all need the gospel, but it's, what else? I do, first and foremost. Oh, chief of sinners, though I be, right? So that's why it's called Y'all Need Jesus. Also, I'm a good Southern boy. Got to work in y'all whenever I can. So let's read our passage for today. 1 Thessalonians 3, 9 through 13. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make you your love increase and overflow to each other, for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. This particular passage kind of hits home with me. There's some background about Paul. He's not in a good place when he's writing this, actually. Ministry can be very messy. Amen? Vocation can be messy. Christian life can be messy. Just being a good neighbor can be messy, especially in these times of COVID and politics and war and all the different things going on in our world. Maybe you've noticed it can be hard to show love. My dream job growing up was to work at a summer camp year-round. I think it's the ideal job. And I got to actually have that job. My wife and I, we met at a summer camp, fell in love at a summer camp, and ended up working full-time at summer camps to the point where we moved all the way to New England, and I ran the program at a summer camp. But I got a call up there one day that there was a camp in Texas, back where my family's from, that needed an executive director, which was my absolute dream job. So I had blinders on because it was what I wanted. And I didn't notice everything I should have noticed in the hiring process. I didn't notice things in the first week of camp I probably should have noticed. But there was a 10-year feud between the board and the camp's founders. And the compromise they had reached was, let's hire a new camp director. That'll fix everything. No. Long story short, we gave the camp their last summer. And my daughter was born in the my first daughter was born in the middle of that summer, and we hadn't really left the property till camp was over. And we were like, oh, it's winding down. We're going to be leaving soon. We went to church for like the first time in like 5 weeks. And when we came back from church, the gates to the camp were locked. And we had to take our five-week-old child and lift her over the barbed wire fence and try to get to our house. But up came someone with a shotgun and told us we weren't welcome on the property anymore. We were run out of town. And this is what had happened to Paul, I think, four times up to this point when he's receiving this letter that he's writing back to the Thessalonians. What had happened was he was in Philippi, and things were going great until they weren't, and he actually gets pretty badly beaten and run out of town. So he goes on to Thessalonica, another city in Asia Minor, Greece, that area. And things are starting to kind of go okay, but he's preaching at the synagogue, and some people don't like that, and he's run out of town. So he goes to Berea. And we don't have an epistle to the Bereans. Have y'all heard of one? I haven't. But Berea was where everything kind of was going right. The Bereans were a great group of Christians. They heard the gospel and immediately responded, and it was going really well, except then someone from Thessalonica got the word he was there, and they came and ran him out of Berea. So he goes on to Athens. But what does he run into there? A lot of religious people, but no one really interested in Christ. And he's probably reached the end of his rope. He's probably getting pretty angry. And that's a pretty human response to this. Fearful, anxious. He probably feels unloved. And it's in that moment when he receives word from the church in Thessalonica which he probably thought of as an afterthought. He was only there for a little bit, and he didn't get to really plant a church. He had to just move on. But things are going well there. The gospel has taken root. Christ's love, the love of God, through the Holy Spirit, is flowing out of these people into their community. And now it's coming back to who? Paul. The gospel he preached is now being preached back to him when he needed to hear it. This is that y'all need the gospel moment, right? Even Paul, arguably the greatest disciple apostle ever, right? Paul, author of all the epistles, never got past the gospel. He still needed it every single day. I remember the first time, this is the first time I remember hearing the gospel. I heard it a lot before this, but this is my earliest memory. I was about the age of the kids who were up here a little while ago. It was 1988, and I was going to a church a lot like this, which is why I totally feel at home here. And we were getting out of our Ford Aerostar minivan, and my dad hands me an envelope before I go into church. And I'm supposed to hold on to that envelope during the service, and then at Sunday school, I'm supposed to hand it in into a basket. And in that envelope is my tithe for the week, 2 quarters, 50 cents, right? And I walk into Sunday school, and I see something I want. Y'all ever heard of Dr. Pepper? Well, in the 1980s, Dr. Pepper was made out of pure cane sugar. It was the most amazing thing ever. I hadn't had it before, but I had seen people drink it. I'd seen commercials on TV, and I knew I need that in my life. I need Dr. Pepper. And guess how much it cost? 2 quarters. And I just happened to have 2 quarters on me. So I eased open that envelope, took out the 2 quarters, and even at 6, I was super sneaky. I kind of licked it and tried to seal it back together and put an empty envelope in the offering basket as it came around. And this was the 1980s, so like supervision of children wasn't really a thing back then. And as everyone was leaving Sunday school, I was supposed to go to the fellowship hall, but I kind of made a beeline to that Dr. Pepper machine. It was glowing in red. It was beautiful. Put in the 2 quarters, pressed the button, got the Dr. Pepper, snuck it out of the room, went to the fellowship hall, popped it open and start drinking that thing. And it was, oh my gosh, never turned back. I drink a Dr. Pepper almost every day. It's not good for me. And I walk out following my 3 siblings, kind of hiding in the Dr. Pepper, get out to the parking lot, try to get a little sip out of it. My dad sees it. And he says, "What is that, James?" And of course, I confess. I tell him everything, right? I tell him exactly what happened. The teacher gave it to me. Which he knew was not true at all. And I get a little angry when he takes it from me. But he sits me down on the ledge of the Ford Aerostar, gets down on his knees, and explains to me, we had been learning about the commandments at home, all the commandments I had just broken. I had stolen, I had lied, I had dishonored my father, and I had broken the first commandment. I stole from God himself. I coveted too, I'm sure that was in there. He explained to me that I deserved punishment. But more than that, this is not the first time I've broken the commandments, and it won't be the last time I've broken the commandments. I deserve some eternal punishment. It's a hard thing to kind of comprehend at 6 years old, but I knew I was in trouble. But I wasn't just in trouble with my father. I was in trouble with my heavenly father. And my father gave me the gospel in that moment, explained that Christ had already paid for that particular sin, all of my sins, my entire sinful condition had been paid for. And not only that, he was going to spare me the punishment I deserved in that moment on this horizontal realm. I wasn't going to get in trouble that day for this particular act. He was going to show me the same grace and forgiveness that Christ had given me. Remember it to this day. Every time I drink a Dr. Pepper, I think of that. Well, fast forward 30 years later, my wife and I and our newborn baby have been run off from the camp we were supposed to be at. All of our belongings are locked up, but a judge gives us an injunction, and we have a window to go in and get all of our things. We get situated, and I go off to the camp office. It's like midnight at this point, and I want to get some of my things. And I get there, and everything just kind of starts to hit me. The anger, the disappointment, feelings of inadequacy, everything. Plots of revenge in my head, right? Because it's righteous anger. It's okay then if it's righteous anger, right? No. And I go to my office. I try to stick the keys in the lock, but I've got tears in my eyes, and I drop my keys. And in fumbling for them, I kick them. And I go scrambling to try to find them, and they've actually gone under something. I reach under that, get them, and I'm just so angry that I punch the nearest thing to me. And it was a Dr. Pepper machine. And I kid you not, it was a 1980s model. It had to have been the exact same one. And everything my father had gifted me with, all of that gospel just came flooding in that moment. And it was a complicated thing because it felt like the law too, because I was also realizing that gospel wasn't just for me. It was for all of those other Christians that I was having issues with in that moment. The ones that I felt like had betrayed me. And I started to see all my betrayals of them, too, in those moments. I saw that I failed to see Christ in them when I looked at them. We've got an amazing, amazing gospel. It doesn't just stop with us. It's a restoration of all things. Notice in these verses, in the midst of all this Paul is dealing with, in the midst of everything I was dealing with, this is what Paul had to say: may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Paul and the Thessalonians kind of had a different outlook than we did. One of the issues the Thessalonians were asking Paul about was, when's the end? Isn't it soon? Any minute now, right? And we're closer now than ever, just like they were closer than ever. Christ will return and make all things new. He will restore all those broken relationships. It's that future reality that we get to live out now because of the gospel. He will restore all relationships. He will end all suffering, usher in a world of perfect love where you are holy and blameless, where you do love perfectly without any waver. And he's already working this future reality in you. Remember that future promise and reality in the midst of suffering. When you find it hard to love someone else, especially another believer. I don't know if you've noticed, it's kind of hard right now with everything going on. That's why we got the gospel. Remember that y'all need the gospel. I need the gospel. Paul needed the gospel. The moment you think you've moved past the gospel is probably the moment you need the gospel most. The moment you start to think, yeah, I get it. Now I want to move on to the higher level Christian things. No. Back to the gospel. The gospel is a deep, deep well. And God is at work in us, through us, despite us, with the gospel. It's the love that those little heart cutouts that we're handing out comes from up there, goes through us and out into the world despite us. And that's a beautiful gospel reality. Remember who you are in Christ and who you will be when he restores all things, and be that reality. Amen. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Amen.
We now continue our service with the singing of the next song, Our Father.
Thank you.
At this time, we confess together our faith in Christ through the words of the Apostles' Creed. Let us confess. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In our prayers today, we include those who are listed in our bulletin and a few additions as well. I mentioned earlier, Pastor Bob and Janine are traveling this week. We also include Alice Brassey and family, remembering the loss of Pastor Brassey. We also have a special petition from Mike Kennedy for his granddaughter McKenna and Anna Marie Perdue as they are struggling with COVID. McKenna is doing okay. Anna is struggling with pneumonia from COVID and in the ICU. We also pray for Todd Folsom and his family. While he's had some progress in recovering from COVID, still also struggling with some steps that have taken him backwards as well. So we pray for healing for him and strength for his family. Let us go to our Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the gifts that you have given us, most assuredly the gospel, that gives us confidence to come before you today in prayer, in petition, asking for healing for those who are sick, and for grace and patience as well. We pray for Doris, Merv, and Tony, for Mary, Bessie, Ashley, Julia, Marissa, for David, Charlotte, Wayne, Edna, Helen, McKenna, Anna Marie, and Todd. We thank you for providing mercies in the time of disaster, especially for those who have experienced the disaster of the Hurricane Ida and for the earthquake in Haiti. We pray for those who are working diligently to provide recovery efforts and to provide relief for them in the wake of these disasters. We pray for those who are traveling this week, especially Pastor Bob and Janine, that you would grant them traveling mercies, send your holy angels to be with them. And we lift up to you the family of Alice Brassey and her loved ones in the loss, experiencing the loss of Pastor Stu. Pray that you would continue to comfort them with the good news of hope, the resurrection in you. All these things we bring before you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, praying the prayer that he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We continue now with the celebration of the Lord's Supper. We invite Pastor Cleland to come up and share with us the words of institution as we begin this meal.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Thank you.
Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you, give you gospel peace in body and soul to everlasting life. Depart in peace. Amen.
Well, it's been a joy to get to share this time in God's Word with you, receiving His good gifts this morning. A wonderful thank you to Pastor Cleland for being with us and preaching God's Word and administering the sacrament for us this morning. Next week, we begin a new season of studies in God's Word during the 9:30 hour. Begin a five-week session both in Sunday school and pre-confirmation for all the kiddos, and also here in adult Bible study at 9:30. So we begin a new five-week session and a whole new season. You can look in the bulletin and see what's coming up in terms of Christian education and lots of other opportunities. So I commend to you reading of those announcements this week instead of me sharing all of them with you this morning. And God's blessings on your week, and hope to see you next week. God's peace.